Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be going through Matthew chapter 6, where we see that in the kingdom of God, there are no titles. We are simply sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, where he preaches a message entitled, "There Are No Goats in the Kingdom of God."
The way that you can and will when you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. That's a great reward. There's a lot of people in this life who are not satisfied. They got beautiful wives, they got beautiful, handsome husbands. But usually it's the guy who has a more beautiful wife. Usually girls marry down, guys marry up, I feel. Anyways, you know, you got beautiful spouse, you got beautiful children, a great job, whatever it would be, but they're never satisfied. The scriptures are clear. You're never satisfied. There's no contentment. But then, man, you come to Jesus, and you start serving Jesus and going to the post that Jesus has called you and ordained for you to go to, and you are satisfied deep in your soul. How about the satisfaction and the reward, thirdly, of that when you complete the task, there's still more work to do? How many things in this life, let me broaden that for you. How many things in this life, after you accomplish the task, you build your house, we build the gym, you make the NFL, you get to that place in positioning in corporate America, you get to that place, and after the chase is over, the climb is over, you get there, there's experience of this low. It's over. I don't know what to do with myself now. I've lost the high of the chase, so now it's over. My reward is here, and now as much as my reward is here, it's over. How about empty nesters? I raised my kids. The reward is sending them off to be successful, to go to college or to get a good job or to have their own family. You get there. Then they leave, and I don't know what my purpose is anymore. The reward of them going is wonderful, but they're gone. I don't know what to do, and there's this immediate low. How about in the kingdom of God, as you serve him and you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back and you do it for his glory, there's this reward of there's more to do. That's sort of a paradox, I get that, but it makes sense. There's a reward of there's more to do. So I preach to you guys this morning, right? This is your church service. Here you go. This is it. I got like 8, 9, 10, 20 more minutes with you. You guys are going to leave here in a few minutes. You're going to be on your way. It's a wonderful reward. I'll be satisfied. I'm going to get a crown because I'm doing what God asked me to do, and I'm not doing it for that only, but I'm certainly doing that for part of it. I want to bring my Father pleasure. It's a Father kingdom. I'll get to that at the end. But then there's this high of sending you guys out and giving you the word of God and maybe even seeing people get saved today. But then when you guys leave, there's more for me to do. There's a reward if I got more for you. Second service is coming. And because you were faithful at first service, I'm going to give you second service. I'm going to fill this room just like I did first service. And it's like going to pastoring a whole other church. And then when second service leaves and I'm emptied out, there's this reward of Wednesday's coming. There's more to do. So that drop, that low that you experience in every other rewards, what is Usain Bolt going to do? What is Michael Phelps going to do? I understand they're going to be rich and enjoy their lives to that degree. But it's over. They've won the goal. They've won so much gold, they don't know what to do with the goal. It's done. The reward, the chase, what they've given their life to, especially these last 4 years of training. You won the race. It's over. My kid ain't even gonna know who you are. You kidding me? With today's technology and training and nutrition value systems, man, there's gonna be a faster runner to come in the next 2 decades. My kids are gonna come there. Yeah, Usain Bolt, who is he? Michael Phelps, who is he? There's no reward. There's no great payoff. You won your reward. It's over. Now there's this low. Who am I? I don't even know who I am. And there's this identity crisis. But in the kingdom, there's a reward of I've got more for you to do still. I think Jesus endorses this point. In fact, I stole it from him. He's the one who gave the parable of those who were faithful stewards of the talents that he gave. Those who multiplied the talents, he rewarded them with more work to do. The ones who held on to their talents and treasures and buried them and saved them and protected them, he damned them. He's a good endorser. If you're going to quote somebody in your message, Jesus is pretty good. Better than Spurgeon and Chambers and Moody and everybody else. So there's the eternal rewards. There's the reward of satisfaction. There's the reward of there's more to do. And then there's the reward, fourthly, I'll close with because of time. I had more, but we'll stop here with this point. There's the reward of getting a vision of God. That's my favorite reward. Because I'm never more like him on this side of eternity than when I'm serving him. Jesus makes it clear all through, especially John's gospel, because he highlights it. I'm not here to do my will, but the one who sent me, my Father's will. In fact, Jesus would say in John's gospel, chapter 8, I always do those things that please the Father. And when we serve the Lord, when we use whatever he's given to us, time, treasures, talents, resources, good works, righteous works, acts of mercy, almsgiving, when we serve the Lord and we use what he has given to us and entrusted to us for his glory, we are never more like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we get this communion with the Father. We get this fellowship with the Father as we bring him a sacrifice of praise. That's an amazing experience, to catch a glimpse or a vision of Almighty God. That's great motivation of why you should serve the Lord for the right reasons and be busy about the Father's kingdom for the right reasons, so that you can see God. Do you see God? Do you guys ever have visions of God? I'm not talking about like, yeah, I died for 60 seconds in my sleep and I went to heaven and I saw Mary and I saw... No, I'm not talking about that, because there's a lot of crazies out there that it's getting overboard. Maybe some of it's true, but it's certainly not all true. Paul said, I can't even write to you what I saw when he had that experience. It'd be unlawful. But do you open your Bible? Do you pray to him? Do you serve him with such intimacy and likeness in the manner that Jesus did, that you see God? By his grace, I get to. And that is my greatest reward. I can't wait to put a face with a name. I pity those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about. And that's not a condemning word. That's not an arrogant word, a lofty word, like, oh, I see God, do you see God? That's a simple exhortation of get busy so you can see God. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show me his glory. He doesn't show me a vision of who he is because I'm the pastor. In the kingdom, you won't come and say, hey, Pastor Dave. In the kingdom, I'm just a son of God. And you're just sons and daughters of God. And we're all on equal playing field. And he wants to show all of us his glory. So if you're a note taker, if you're a neat maker of a sermon, we're after rewards that are eternal. We're after rewards that are satisfying. We're after rewards that give us more work to do after we finish. And we're after rewards that give us a vision of God. Don't do things to be seen of men. In fact, he says in verse 2, when you do good works and you do serve God and you do bless people in Jesus' name, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. They would literally do that. They would come to a street corner, an intersection where there was a lot of people passing by. They'd have somebody blow a silver trumpet, make this big doo doo doo, and then the poor would come. They would know that was their call. And then they would throw change in their buckets and you'd hear the jingle, and then everybody would applause. Jesus says, when you do that, don't do what they do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they might have the glory of men, because I say unto you, they have their reward. That makes sense, because you never get rewarded twice for the same thing. That makes no sense. Jesus is saying there's no double dipping. You don't get rewarded by men on this side of eternity when they applaud for you, if that's what you're after, and then get rewarded by me too in glory. If that's what you're after, there's your reward. I hope that 30 seconds of fame was worth it. I hope you being the hot shot for 20 seconds till the next guy comes on the scene and steals your glory, I hope that was worth it to you, because that's all you're getting. The word here, reward, at the end of verse 2 means this: paid in full and receipted. There's no more being paid out for that one. You got paid in full and you got the receipt. You want to be the greatest of all time? You want to be the John Jones Bones of Christianity? You want to be the Michael Phelps or the Usain Bolt of Christianity? You want to be the hot shot? You want to be the prominent one? You want to be the recognized one? That's why you usher at the door, or you teach the kids, or you pray the way that you pray, or you shovel the pathway, or you do what you do. I hope you like the pat on the back, because that's all you're getting. Now, some legalists say, oh, when you give them encouragement or compliment, don't do that, you'll steal my reward. That's not what this taught. The Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thy own lips. You can receive encouragement, edification. You can come up to the pastor afterwards or to the worship leader and say, you blessed me today. You don't got to preface it with, I know you're nothing but a jerk and you're no good, and it's only by the grace of God you're not burning in hell right now. But you were a blessing today. You kind of ruined it for us with that whole preface thing there. We know what we are. You don't got to remind us. You can simply just come up to us and say, or to the person holding the door and say, or the person behind the cafe counter and say, you're a blessing. Thank you for doing what you do. You're not taking their reward, because that person wasn't doing it to be seen of men. Unfortunately, when you do good things, many a times there is this attention given to you. It's attached to it. But if my motivation is not for that, then there will be rewards. Y'all with me so far? Jesus isn't ridiculous. He doesn't make statements that don't make sense and make us scratch our minds. Wait a minute, how do I do things that are good but I can't be seen? I'd have to preach from the back of the sanctuary and you guys would all be looking that way. That'd be amazing. You know, I'd come in and scare you guys. It'd be ridiculous. I met a kid at Bible college. I didn't go to Bible college. I was a janitor, and then like I taught the youth, and I became the senior pastor. I have no clue how, but anyways, I went to Bible college to visit my sister like 12, 13 years ago. And I remember talking to this guy. Everybody in Bible college is so spiritual. Like, they drink more spiritual water, they eat more spiritual food. They're just very spiritual while they're there for 2 years. And I was talking to this one guy, and he said, when I pastor a church, he said, I'm going to put the stage in the back of the church, I'm going to push all the chairs up forward and have the worship team, and I'm going to preach from the back so that we can't be seen of men, basing it on these verses. And I'm just thinking, that would be the weirdest church ever. And at the time, I thought, how carnal I am. But now I look at him thinking just how stupid he was. I wasn't really carnal. He was just dumb. You know what I mean? It's just different. Because he's going over it. It's ridiculous. He's making something that Jesus said ridiculous. If you're not up here to be seen. And I do try to take that in consideration when I'm up here, because I do like to joke and have fun. I try to keep it to a minimal. I tell a story here or there because it's opening a window of breath, fresh air sometimes, or stinky air, depending on the story with my kids. And I try to keep it so that you're paying attention, because I understand a dialogue is very difficult to endure for a long period of time. But I try to be very sensitive. In fact, I think of many of things I could use as illustrations and stories and jokes or whatever, that I just leave, because I don't want to be here to be seen. In fact, I hate being seen. If I'm not preaching, I don't ever seek to be seen, unless I'm with my buddies or my family, then it's a different thing. But otherwise, I don't want to blend in with the crowd. I don't want to be seen. I'd rather be in the booth on Facebook while the pastor's preaching. I was just hoping I'd convict somebody if they were doing that, but I'm only joking. Or in the back. I used to love ushering. I was an usher for years. Or just even the guy who vacuums tomorrow morning. But when God calls you to do something, you've got to do it. So don't do something to be rewarded by men, because then you've received your payment in full. That's receipted. There's nothing else that you're going to get. But when you do alms, God bless you, verse 3, when you do alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Listen, here's something wonderful you should write down. Seek secrecy for your good deeds. You should be seeking secrecy for your good deeds. You're not going to give $1,000 then ask me to put your name on a brick that leads to the new gym. You can give us $1,000, but I'm not putting your name on that. I'll put your name on a brick that's in the bathroom. I'm not going to put your, because that's not what you should be after. You understand? That's what he's saying here. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, man. Just do it for God. And be careful, though, because when you do things that are commendable, that's what our human nature is. I want somebody to see this here. This is of virtue. This is of good. I want somebody to see this here. I want somebody to know about this here, man. I used to be such a wretch, and now I'm doing things for God. I just want people to notice my change. Heaven notices. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's why, you know, you ever seen preachers on TBN or just any TV now? The pastor's up there, and then all of a sudden he's like, okay, hang on a minute, folks. He starts speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, he's like, somebody here has $1,000 in their pocket, and they're supposed to give $1,000 right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody here is supposed to give $1,000. Okay, there's another person here with $1,000. Okay, not just one, but there's two. There's two people here that's supposed to give $1,000. Oh, there's three. The Lord didn't see that one a minute ago, but now he sees them. There's four people here with $1,000, and there's somebody. That's why we don't do pledges here. We don't do fundraisers. You know, we don't come up here and say, listen, this is God's church. And the gates of hell won't prevail, and he'll build it, and he'll establish it, and he'll make a name of it as he sees fit. We're just making a name of Jesus, not Calvary Chapel West Side. We're not going to do, okay, so we're going to make pledges now. If you're a member of the church, we want you to remortgage your home and pledge that for the next 12 months, you're going to, listen, there's a lot of churches that do it. Fine, that's between them and God. I'm not doing it based on scriptures like these. Just, you want to give to God? The Bible says, and you're supposed to give hysterically. You're supposed to give cheerfully, not begrudgingly. You're not supposed to be saying, fine, then take my stinking $5. You take your stinking $5. God doesn't want it. You're supposed to give in a way where I get to give, not I have to give. Why do people give to God? Three reasons, I think. One, because of that very thing. They feel like they have to give to God. I have to give to God. This is, they're passing the bucket, they're putting it in my face. Before I took over, the first thing I did is said, no more passing buckets. But when we used to pass the bucket, because we had somebody robbing from the agape boxes, that's why we ever did it. Anyways, so some people give because they feel like they have to give, case in point. Other people give because they feel like it's a religious duty. It's sort of similar to feeling like they have to give, but they do because this is part of being a Christian. You know, I had somebody say to me recently, you know, they came to me and they said, I really feel like I should give because I go here. And I was like, well, you don't have to give because you go here, but you should give because you go here, because where you're getting fed is where you should support. That's biblical. You should give to where you're getting fed to maintain everything. I mean, the lights aren't just paid for, and the air conditioning and the heat and the everything else. I mean, yeah, you should give, but you don't have to do it as a duty. You get to do it hysterically unto the Lord with a cheerful heart. Like, Lord, you've blessed me so much, I'm going to bless you. And what I've learned personally is you can't outgive God. You bless God, God blesses you tenfold. He opens up the window of heaven, Malachi 3, and he dumps out blessing after blessing after blessing. There was a third reason why people give, but they're on my notes, and that's way too far to walk back to, so let's just move on here. I don't even know what it is. You should just give with the right heart. And this is why, that the alms and the giving and the good deeds and the merciful acts and the righteous acts that you do, in secret, your Father, and I want to leave on that note, verse 4, your Father, this would be shocking to them. Because all through the Old Testament, it was a national thing. Now it's an individual thing. Not Israel's father, not Elijah's father, not Abraham's father, but your Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. It's a father kingdom that we're a part of. And we're doing what we do for Dad. You want to know what that then means? I don't do it lawfully, I do it lovingly. When I do stuff for my dad, I don't do it because I'm his son and my last name is Tommaso. I do it because I love my dad. I'm grateful to my dad for raising me, for teaching me about Jesus. for putting clothes on my back and shoes on my feet, giving me a bed to sleep on all of those years of growing up. When I do things for my dad, I do it in response to his love for me. I don't ever do it because I have to do it. I do it because I want to do it. That's how it is when you're in love with somebody. When you're in love with somebody, you're indebted to them forever. When you're in love with somebody, after you do something for them, it's not like, now pay me. Give me something back for what I've done for you. When you're in love with them, you keep wanting to bless them. You keep pursuing them. You keep going after them. Guys, remember when your wife was your girlfriend? Remember when you were pursuing her and going after her? I mean, you didn't take her to dinner, and then the next time you had dinner, said, now it's your turn to buy. If you did, you're a jerk. You shouldn't have done that. Well, Jesus uses hypocrite in his message. I like using jerk in mine. I want to buy you dinner again. And I want to buy you flowers just to buy you flowers. And I want to take you shopping just to take you shopping. Or at least send you shopping just to go shopping. I don't want to go with you, but you go. Because I'm in love with you. And I want you. And I never want you to look around you. I want you to always look only for me and at me and to me. That's what this whole Christianity thing is. This is a Father kingdom. Our Father that is in heaven, that's who we do it for. And think about this. Worship team, you can come. Think about this. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he can make you rich. Think about this. Think about what heaven gave so that we can become sons and daughters of God. So that we can even have this title attributed to us that he's our Father. Heaven gave Jesus. Jesus gave himself. Jesus emptied himself of glory and all that it entails to become poor, as it were, so that we can become the sons and daughters of his dad. So we no longer call him God, who's far off and distant and sterile, but we call him Abba Father, which is Daddy. Amazing.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.